How do you feel about Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello being described as the best bromance in hockey?
Like, that's a superlative they don't deserve.
Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad would like to call you up there, Mike.
Also, isn't Zuccarello already in a bromance with someone else? I actually can't even remember who, but
I don't. Minnesota's it's a blank hole for me, other than Jared Spurgeon.
Okay, I just googled Zuccarello bromance, and I've gotten Matt Zuccarello and Derek Brassard in a bromance, and then also Matt Zuccarello and Henrik Lundqvist, NHL's best bromance.
Interesting.
Feels
interesting.
Like Matt Zuccarello is in a lot of bromances.
He's getting around. See, this is also, guys, what we can consider having multiple friends. Not everything has to be a bromance. Men can just be friends and hang out. You can show affection towards your friends.
Correct.
Like, that's actually just like a fun, like, word of advice to, like, men. Like, did you guys know that you can find value in platonic relationships? Because you can.
Yeah. That's a good piece of advice.
The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry.
Get out of here with that. Sexism.
All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, which I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm your host for this week, Mallory. And I'm here with Georgia and Sam. Our highs and lows for the week, I don't understand what these mean. It just says high, goose on the field, low, goose in the garbage can.
Did you not see this?
I saw that there was a goose on the field at the baseball game. I have no idea what the latter means. Did they put him in a garbage can?
Yeah, to get him off the field. They chased him down for a while.
I don't like geese, though.
And then they dropped it. I don't like geese either, but it was really sad. They like dropped a towel over him and then they just like shuttled him into a garbage can. I shouldn't gender this goose.
We're just using he/him pronouns.
Yeah.
For him. It's
they
fine.
Shuffled it into a garbage can. And it was a sad ending to one of my favorite things in sports, which is animals on the field at sporting events, but obviously specifically at baseball with cats. The cat at course
the cat was my favorite. So I was good. Just thinking about the cat,
and then it reminded me of my all-time favorite hockey moment, which was the wild condor. Actually, it wasn't wild, it was domesticated, but it went wild. Condor on the ice, the Bakersfield Condor game.
I
started to go crazy during the anthem. One of my favorite
I have a question for you. How do you feel about Randy Johnson killing a bird with his pitch? Is that a baseball birds on baseball fields that you enjoy?
No, also happened multiple times. And you know what, don't be flying there.
Yeah, I mean, you can fly anywhere else.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a horrifying thing to watch.
Yeah. What game was this in? It was in the Yankees game.
No, it was the Padres Dodgers.
Okay, it was some blue and white team that I don't really enjoy.
Large how are you going team. With your teams that you were going to cheer for, and they're both out?
Girl,
who are you cheering for now?
The Guardians is kind of my one, but that's only because I want them to beat the Yankees. So, and also I think it's fun to have them win in their new era. Like, people get on the Guardians bandwagon because they have their new name. But yeah, so it was like Rays and Mets were my planned teams to follow, and that didn't work out too well for me.
At least the Mets took it to three.
They took it to three. The Rays Guardians game went to three games. Just they were back to back in the second game.
They went to 2.5 games. Settled
they
down.
They played 15 innings. It's enough. Like, if there was a rain delay, they would be like, yeah, that's a full game.
Yeah. Our other high is that we did our first Patreon Zoom watch. So if you're the top highest tier of our Patreon, once a month, we're going to do some sort of watch. I don't know if we'll keep doing Zoom. We'll figure it out, but it might just be like a live watch through through the Patreon app, but it was really fun. And we all watched stuff happen at different times because all of us have differently synced televisions, which made things extra interesting. When we saw goals being scored, or Sam saw goals being scored a full 2 minutes before Mallory did. Incredible.
Good. It's just modern nice tech. I did want to say on the stream last night, because you were like, oh, it's because you're in, Sam's the only adult because she has cable. If Jeff had his way, we wouldn't actually have cable. It's just that I refuse to let it go. He's like, oh, just like use Netflix or one of the streaming services. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, there are days where I don't know what I want to watch. And I actually can't decide what I want to watch unless it's like already on and I'm flipping through it. Like, streaming services require too much decision making for me.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to just watch like a random episode of Real Housewives, like middle of the season, and you're picking up the plot as it goes along.
That's the best thing about, like, when you're at the dentist and they have like the TV on the roof and it's always on some random TLC kind of show or whatever. And you're just, you're in.
I didn't have cable growing up, and like always as a huge treat, whenever we were at a hotel, I got to watch like a random episode of What Not to Wear, and it was always the greatest thing.
I don't think we have any other lows.
We don't have anything else, really. Last night was the first Canucks game. They played the Oilers, and they lost to the Oilers. It was like a very classic Canucks game in the sense that it had its many ups and downs. It was the epic highs and lows of this, really. So we all thought it was going to be very high scoring, just because the Canucks exists. And then Cody Ceci gets put on the ice when they're trying to play defense with the Oilers. So who do you think like stood out really for you in the game?
I thought Petey looked really good, which he has during the preseason, so it's not that shocking. He had like a bad giveaway, but for most of the game, he looked really good. I think he's going to have an insane season. I think that he did the Nate McKinnon thing where he had a flop era and now he's back and he's posting. He posted on Instagram today. Technically it was a spawn ad, but that's fine.
I love being in his influencer era for that. That's good.
But he's back. I think he's going to have a really big year. He looks really locked in, which is very exciting. I thought Kuzmenko looked really good. I think he did this rookie lap or whatever, and he missed the puck. And someone was joking, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, was like, uh-oh, he looks nervous. I didn't think he looked nervous at all. I thought that he looked really at home. And I so dearly wish that JT Miller scored that goal instead of shanking it in, I think, the third period. Because he would have had more points. It was a really nice pass that he made. So I thought he looked really good. That's about it for me. Sam?
I would like to start off by pointing out that I predicted a 5-3 score.
You did.
I forgot until like much later last night. And I was like, oh, wait, I actually called that. I forgot. So that was my prediction. I agree with Roja, but I thought Petey had a really good game. I would like to think that Petey's flop era and our flop era overlapped, and now we're both out of our flop eras and going to have a very good season.
We're in sync.
Exactly. And I thought Demko was good.
He made a couple of really big saves. It could have been way worse.
I do have to have my Connor McDavid hour right now.
Do you? Do you?
No, but what I have to say is that what's really unfortunate is that I don't really feel like he looked as insane as he like can last night. He had 4 points and scored a hat trick, but like a hat trick in air quotes, because one was an empty net, and it's like, I don't know. It was an okay night for him, which is so absurd levels of like, that's how good he is that
Yeah, it's kind of the game was weird because the Canucks really played well 5-on-5. It was obviously mm-hmm. special teams, which were the difference maker. And I mean, if you give the Oilers enough opportunities on the power play, like they have the best power play in like the modern NHL, like ever. So probably ever. So they're going to score. And when you have still the issues that the Canucks have on the penalty kill, and then when the Canucks don't score on the power play, like that's how the game goes. And like, so during 5-on-5, Connor McDavid, I think he had one like really nice play where he, to be fair, it was against Riley Stillman, but he like turned him inside fucking out. And all I could think was, thank God we only play the Oilers two more times because I never want to see that happen again. But he didn't really do that much 5-on-5. He was like pissed off a lot. He got a couple penalties, I think. And so they were playing him well-ish, but that's, sadly, that's who Devo is. He can have an off night and he gets 4 fucking points and like,
yeah,
depressing.
Something that I thought was absurd is that he hit 700 points last night, which I think was on like his, it was on his goal on the power play, I think. And then he, it was like, oh my goodness, this is like literally just the first game of the season. Like he, unless something catastrophic happens, he's going to hit over, be over 100 points this year too. He's going to hit 800. That's so crazy. It's absurd.
Yeah, it is absurd.
What was that, Sam, that was not just Devo talk?
It is still Devo talk.
Okay.
Also JT Miller slander. I think Drantz tweeted the head-to-head stats against McDavid for Canucks centers, because obviously their coaching strategy last night was JT Miller versus Connor McDavid, and the numbers were atrocious. Like they, PD's numbers were way, way better because he actually plays defense. But yeah, it was an interesting choice to pair JT Miller up against Connor McDavid.
Neither of them really play defense though, but like Connor McDavid just plays offense at a level that you kind of can be like, okay, well, he's really not going to play defense, but whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like in that, that's the kind of thing where you, when you're doing your matchups or whatever, like PD can play defense by being offensive, you know, like mm-hmm. he can control play. So then it's, and he's also really smart. He's a deeply intelligent player. So when you're playing against Devo, you kind of just, no one's going to be as fast as him. So you've got to think smartly and able to get in order to, like mess him up a little bit. So it makes more sense to play. Though I wonder if they weren't doing that because they think Kuzmenko's like a defensive liability.
It's also true that you want to have more of a veteran presence, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. The Canucks are kind of weird because like who is their quote? I guess they don't really have a quote unquote checking line unless you just put the fourth line. But like mm-hmm. that's also weird. I don't know. Maybe things will be different like when Mikheyev's back, if it is PD Kuzmenko Mikheyev, maybe they would have been more likely to try and match him that way. Also, like, just smarter to do that because then if you're doing the matchups, like, PD's playing the same minutes, right? Like, mm-hmm. when you try and start matching and you take your best player off the ice from playing against their best player, you're reducing their minutes. So, we'll see how the season goes.
Yeah. So, other than like, we should have Evander Kane banned from the league for like other reasons, which the reasons are we don't like him, but like there's obviously personal like reasons, like he's a bad person of why we don't like him. Like, as opposed to me being like, I just like dislike William Nylander, so like he should not be allowed to play. Like, it's not like that situation. But where did it all go wrong? Like 5 unanswered goals going from 3-0 to. And the answer is a missed call of Evander Kane smacking his stick into our baby Quinn. It was just a high sticking. He was bleeding, though.
So. One of the, this is a side point, but like Quinn Hughes' nose just like bleeds a lot because how many times have we seen him with have to have the thing shoved up his nose
Like, maybe he just has really dry skin.
Like,
I don't know.
His nose just like it. It's so funny. It's happened at least 3 times where he's had to skate around with the like
tampon. Like, coming out of his nose. It is an advantage because we can be getting those 4-minute power plays if we just conspire to get Twin's nose bleeding.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like what they should do is like go to Spirit like on like November 1st and just get all the clearance blood. Like if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Oh man.
Yeah, but it was a high sticking against Quinn. They didn't call it. He's writhing in pain on the ground. So then it's a 5-on-3 because it was a penalty kill. We don't really have much luck against their regular penalty kill, so a 5-on-3 was worse. But other than that, everything else going wrong, just penalty kill. Bad.
Yeah, you definitely like, first of all, 3-0 is notoriously the worst lead in hockey. And someone, I need to know the actual stats because it's unreal how many times teams blow it. It's unbelievable. But as soon as they scored that goal, I think every single person who's cheered for the Canucks for more than 20 games was like, oh no, it's bad. It's bad. Because you could just feel the tide turning. And also you could feel that the Canucks do the thing. Here's where I'm going to say something that's not that controversial or brave, but the Canucks are Arsenal and Arsenal is the Canucks. And when they do something, they like get kind of a little rattled by it. This is exactly what Arsenal does. Or used to do, and it's hard for them to like get back on track, and especially when you're playing a team like Edmonton and you're giving them more opportunities on the power play and stuff, it's just, that's a freight train going downhill and you can't stop that.
You know what I need to do is I want to do a video. We should do like a TikTok. I should do it on TikTok or like a reel of just the 3-0 turning moment, like George's point about like if you've watched more than 20 games you knew it was coming, and just set it in slow motion to the line in Exile where Taylor Swift sings, I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. I need that as a Canucks montage clip.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we could do it a lot for a lot, yeah,
like
games.
Literally I don't know where I can start with the content, like.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that's what was going to happen. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things where I think, okay, we can complain because that was an extremely egregious miss. Like, he's literally gushing blood. It happened. It wasn't like it was hidden necessarily from the refs. Like, they should have seen it or picked up on it. But also at the same time, like, you were up 3-0. Like, you can't let them score 5 unanswered goals.
And they had 8 power plays.
Yeah, like that's not, yes, that sucks. And I think that's, it's clearly where the tide shifted. And like, whatever, we can have conversations about whether they should have VAR and like, no, don't do that. But that's not the reason they lost. They lost because their defense sucks and our penalty kill sucks. And we didn't score the fucking power play and we gave up a shorthanded goal. You can't do that.
We gave up a shorthanded goal. I think Brock took us off the power play at one point by a dumb penalty.
So did Tanner Pearson. They did it twice. They took themselves off the power play.
And they got too many men call against the Oilers, which is like literally the most preventable thing. Being like, hey guys, we need to make sure that they don't get on the power play because like our penalty kill is not good and theirs is like incredible. So maybe we could just like learn how to count.
And one of their power plays that they had, it was when Quinn was being seen to, and OEL was on the back end, and it was one of the most horrific power plays I've ever seen. Like JT Miller kept dropping the puck back to like no one. There was no one there. And it's like, OEL is not Quinn. Can you please understand that? Like it was unreal. Oh well. At least we're playing the Flyers next, which is good news.
Because they are beating the Devils 4-1 right now, but
are they really?
The Devils are not very good. But John Tortorella does not have any faith in the Flyers. I don't think the Flyers themselves have any faith in the Flyers.
Want to hear something very funny, though, Mallory?
Yes.
And Sam, you too, because I don't know if you listened to the post-game show like I did this morning. Do you know who was villain number one on Vancouver Sports Talk Radio for this loss?
Somehow John Tortorella.
Who did they blame it on? Think of any of the Canucks players who got blamed.
Bo Horvat.
Yeah. There was someone. Why? There was someone who texted into the Canucks post-game show last night and was like, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but was like, Bo's not even good, something like that. And then he's like, he'll never have the heart of Smeal and Linden. And
I'm like, oh, fuck off.
We're one game into the season. One game into the season.
Good Lord.
It's unreal. I laughed very hard because Canucks fans are just so ridiculous.
How many of the people do you think being super mean to Bo Horvat were also like super offended by your bubble tweet about him playing video games?
That wasn't even actually about him.
The Venn diagram's a circle.
100%.
Like, it was, I couldn't even believe it. I didn't think he played that bad. He didn't do that much, but like, it's one game. I think everyone's just kind of in their psychosis because they're like, oh, he's not worth $7 million. And like, that's fair conversation. But like, holy shit, everyone settled down. I laughed, and especially the stupid Smeal and Linden thing is so funny. You'd never have the heart that Smeal and Linden do. Like, do you think JT Miller does? Like, what? It's so weird. This market is so weird.
Moving on from Canucks hockey and our epic collapse last night. I only got the very end of this. I think Georgia watched more of it.
I did watch
Toronto and the Montreal played. Just what went down, Georgia?
Well, at the end, it kind of went crazy with back and forth scoring. It was one of the things. So when we were on the live stream yesterday, I was like, oh, the Canucks will win 2-0. And I was doing good for the first, 20 minutes of the game. And then I forgot that in the NHL, scoring is way up. So there was never going to be only two goals scored in that game. And similarly in the Toronto, Montreal game, there was a lot of scoring happening. And it culminated in Josh Anderson scoring with 18 seconds left to win the game after the Habs went ahead, and then the Leafs tied it like 20 seconds later. Nylander scored, I think. And then the Habs just scored again. And I'm going to say this, Matt Murray, not the answer, not the answer Toronto's looking for.
Absolutely not.
And I believe Sheldon Keefe called the game unacceptable, which was a pretty good assessment. Cole Caulfield also scored two goals. I think he's mad about Nick Suzuki being made captain. That's a joke.
His dad's mad. His dad's really upset.
And a strongly worded letter to Kent Hughes.
Anyway. It's an email. It's also like from his work email. There's overreacting, and then people even were saying that Sheldon Keefe was overreacting by saying that how Toronto played was unacceptable, but how Toronto played was legitimately unacceptable. Like, the thing is that it's so much more of like a black and white like situation. It's like Toronto's a good team and Montreal isn't. Like, there's just facts there. And
Toronto does weird things. Like, when you think that it's an easy win or something, like they also lost to the Habs in the playoffs, like the bubble playoffs or whatever, which was also unacceptable. Like, I don't know. Weird things. Like, what they should have done is what Colorado did, which was totally dominate the Blackhawks, which was what was expected. Because guess what? The Blackhawks suck. I think they scored 4 power play goals against the Blackhawks, I believe.
I literally don't even think Habs fans went into that game like expecting to watch a win. Like, they literally were like, oh yeah, gonna go watch the season opener.
Hopefully they
can't wait to see Nick Suzuki with the captaincy. That's gonna be the high point of the game for me.
Can't wait to see these men on defense that we've never heard of before.
Literally.
Unreal. It was a messy start. Messy start to the season, but
really incredible. Okay. So the NHL started on Tuesday/Wednesday, but also it didn't because it started on Saturday. With the Predators and the Sharks. Somewhere in the Czech Republic, I believe.
Prague.
Okay. So the main place.
The main place. Oh,
the, the big one. I don't know. I didn't watch this game because it probably happened at like 7 a.m. And I also didn't know it was happening. But I feel like we've discussed this before. And I said that I think that they're trying to appeal to European audiences. They're not trying to be like, oh, look, it's a fun gimmick. Like they do with the stadium series and stuff, which also are not promoted very well either, to be honest. But it's not like a full gimmick. They're like, oh, trying to expand their reach, maybe?
It was just very funny, the amount of people on my timeline. And to be fair, like the reason I know this is happening is because Izzy edits for San Jose. So the writer is in Europe, right? Was in Europe. And so I knew about it because I had to plan the whole trip. But like if that wasn't the case, I don't think I would know. And so it was very funny the amount of people who are like, the NHL starting today? Yep, it is. Because yeah, they don't really tell people, but I guess you're right, Mel. Like they're probably just marketing in Europe, but it's kind of, it's just a weird thing. Like, I don't know. They also are, because even the, was it the Lake Tahoe game that no one remembered was happening?
Yeah.
And then the ice was melting. That was so funny. Yeah, the NHL is just, they're not good at marketing themselves. And this is just another example of that. People just don't know stuff's happening. Okay.
My personal like bad marketing story on top of that is also the Oilers getting ratioed for putting all of their post-game press conference clips behind a paywall.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm gonna pay to watch Connor McDavid talk.
And did you see the prices for their concession food?
Insane. Like, I think Rogers Arena prices are expensive, but this is like next level.
It was like almost $60 for two cheeseburgers or something. Two cheeseburgers and two medium-sized Cokes. And then,
yeah, like at least the expensive thing at the Canucks game is like a lobster sandwich.
Yeah. It's not like literal concession food. Like, yeah. It was crazy. What's going on with Daryl Cates? Other than legitimately,
I legitimately think that I viewed that and assumed it was doctored and just didn't like process it in my brain as fact. Like, I legitimately was like, oh, that's not real, and just moved on.
Insane. So, insane amount of money to spend on.
Absurd. And also, like, I thought we all had like our agreed upon price of like $15 or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like way too much, but like we had all agreed that was acceptable ish. It's like they literally, it literally is because they have you trapped.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, you want to eat here. But
also, it was a slap, or it wasn't a slap in the face, but I think earlier that day, someone had tweeted about the food that's available at Climate Pledge Arena. And it's all like really nice, really fun food of like different types of tacos and like donut stuff and like all these fun things. And then to see what's going on in Edmonton, you're just like, oh man, it seems bleak.
Other bad things, Laine possibly injured. I don't know.
Apparently he's out for 3 to 4 weeks.
That's not as injured as I thought he was. I thought he was like months injured.
It looked really bad.
Yeah, it looked
like he like dislocated his shoulder.
Which apparently something with his elbow. I don't know.
That's a baseball injury.
Ooh. Yeah. I feel like if he dislocated his shoulder, the thing is that it's really gross, but they just pop it back in for you, which is disgusting. But
my brother dislocated his shoulder playing hockey when we were younger. I think he was like 13 or something. And then it would just randomly pop out. It was so gross. Why are men like this?
I feel like that's just like a normal sibling thing of being like, oh, I can do this thing and it freaks out my sibling. Absolutely. In continued Hockey Canada news, also, it's an exodus, finally. But I don't think that fixes anything. Scott Smith is finally gone. Andrew Skinner, also gone. A bunch of Hockey Canada's board, gone.
I think all of them, right?
Yeah.
I think they all resigned?
The entire board resigned.
Yeah. Which is
five days after she said she doesn't think board resignations would do anything.
I mean, the first thing that happened was Andrea Skinner resigned. What was her wording? She was like, it's come to my attention that like maybe I'm not the best suited person for this or whatever. Or like, I can't remember what the exact wording was.
It was very strange wording.
But it was like, okay.
Like interesting. Very strange wording.
Yeah. It also like, I don't know. Maybe she was doing the role and that hearing, having to do that hearing and really have everything thrown at you was like not eye-opening, because I don't want to be like, she should have realized before that it was this bad, but like, you can't sit there and try and lie to the government of Canada and the elected officials. Like, you can't do that. And so especially maybe what got to her was when the one MP was like, aren't you a litigator? Like, don't you know how to do your job? Tough being called out like that in a parliamentary hearing.
So I think I would just quit my job.
Literally, I said this when Hedy Fry chastised Scott Smith. Like, I would literally never come back. I would move to a desert island and like never contact anyone again because I'd be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. What was this thing today about his severance? He's not. I saw something about, because he quit, he's not entitled to severance, but maybe he's trying to get it or something.
I didn't actually see.
Some of the politicians were tweeting about it, but who knows what that actually is about. Basically, this should have happened like 10 months ago.
Yep.
Like a really long time ago. So. And what I keep thinking about, and I tweeted this, is like, how crazy is it that it was that one person, like the contact inside the Ontario Supreme Court or whatever, I can't even remember what it was, but it was in London. The one person working there who was like, maybe I should contact Rick Westhead about this filing, because it's kind of crazy. Like, if they didn't do that, I don't know if we'd know about this, even though it's like anyone can access it or whatever. It would have stayed hidden, which is the whole thing where it's funny when Hockey Canada is like, we never tried to cover this up. Yeah, you did. Like, that's so crazy that this is like where we're at now. So who knows? Who do you think should be on the board now? Or should they just, should totally just start again?
They should just start.
Yeah. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
I asked that because Daniel Carcillo like basically tweeted his resume.
Oh my God.
To be like, yeah, I'll do it. Anyway.
Interesting. Made me laugh.
Did he currently sue?
No, he's suing the CHL. Yeah. Which is, that's the other thing. Like, this is great that this is happening, but we got to have a conversation about the CHL. Mm-hmm. Because if we think Hockey Canada's, like, Hockey Canada's like an overarching structure, yes, but like the CHL is pretty fucked in a lot of ways. And that also needs to be cleaned up, because we know that this is the issue. And also today, Rick West had reported on another story, content warning, trigger warning right now, about another woman who came forward with allegations of sexual assault against Western. Is it Western University? Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Western, why. And then another, I think, minor, some other professional league. I don't remember what the specific wording was, but it was been, a UWO player plus someone else.
Yeah. For sexual assault. And she said she went to the London Police Department and they're basically like, cool, don't press charges or whatever. And like, there's now, this is between the 2018, this one, and then there was one that was also involving Western students, where the police department has done less than a stellar job in a lot of ways. So there's also something clearly going on with the London Police Department that needs to be looked at. I mean, all police departments, but particularly with what's going on there, because it's pretty fucking concerning.
I mean, it's, if you've ever been to London, Ontario, or you know anything about the London Knights and how influential and prevalent and popular that organization is in London, that's probably the least shocking thing possible.
Yeah, they're so popular that like Bo Horvat grew up being a London Knights fan. Like, he didn't have a hockey team. Like, he literally just at night cheered for the London Knights.
Everyone there.
Yeah.
Slate cheers for the London Knights.
So it's like a, yeah, it's a particularly, not symbolic, but like microcosm of the larger issues with the kind of heroic status that we give hockey players and these kind of people in these positions. Also, there's this ex-Supreme Court justice. No, what are they called? Sam, what are they called?
He's a former Supreme Court justice, so now he's just the Honorable
Thomas Cromwell. He did a report and it got leaked,
and then they released it.
And then they released it.
They released it being like, we're so transparent. It's like, you released it because the CBC wrote a piece on it because it got leaked.
And there's some pretty bad stuff in there in regards to the systems they have for reporting, and also the National Equity Fund taking a lot more money than they had implied from registration fees. So it's just going to get worse. Doesn't matter that they resign. It's just going to get worse. And we have more hearings coming up, I think, next week. So
Bob Nicholson, I think, is supposed to be at one of the hearings, allegedly. I guess we'll find out.
I mean, honestly, that's like all we've got for this week, because it's Thursday. There's still some hockey going on, but according to our cutoff, there's not. So
there's a lot of games happening tonight. So by next week, we'll be back in the swing of it. We're all doing the post game on Saturday with Sam.
I am hosting the Steve Dangle Podcast Nation. I don't actually, I should know what SDPN stands for, but I don't. I am hosting the SDPN Game Over show on Saturday. And I was like, I need guests. I'm going to coerce Georgia and Mallory into doing this to me. But it's also appropriate because it's the Flyers. And I feel like we talk about the Flyers a lot.
We talk about the Flyers all the time because I used to love Claude. I mean, I still love Claude Giroux, but so I was forced.
Can you bring Gritty? Bring your Gritty.
Yes, he'll come.
Gritty, you can wear there. You can wear your Claude Giroux jersey.
I cannot. It's at my parents' house.
Then bring Gritty.
Yeah,
Gritty will.
I do have Gritty with me though.
Gritty will be
watch
there.
Ever ad read.
Okay,
you're gonna do an ad read.
We have I'm to so do excited. Ad reads. Oh my God. For sports betting. And I'm just going to read it and be like, I don't know what these words mean.
I love this. That's great.
Incredible. That's so good. So funny.
Well, the Flyers did just beat the Devils, though. That is. So we're both coming off wins.
Did TK have two goals?
I don't know. I just saw somebody had an empty net goal, so I assumed it was over and done with.
I know he had at least one. I think he scored a second one.
Yeah. Yep. Tony D'Angelo has two assists, though. So
the tweets about after someone tweeted the quote of him being like, I have like 200 family that are coming in Emirates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the 200 family was and it was the January 6th. It's so really good. Okay. Anyway, who are your three stars? Who's your star? We'll do our three stars.
Give me a second. I have to think of my star.
Yeah, me too.
I always forget to think
of one. I somehow forget every week that we do three stars.
Okay. My star for the week is Elias Pettersson because he has posted three times on Instagram this week and he also got 2 points, 3 points. I don't know. He looks like he's back in the groove of things and he's posting and he's getting his headphones money. It was a Bose sponsorship. That's some good money, Bose.
Yeah. That's a big brand.
Good for him. You support it. We hope you can have a nice little time at Holt Renfrew. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where he's gonna go spend his Bose check there.
Yeah, I'll go to Celine
mm-hmm.
and get his stuff.
He also played well in the game.
I actually have two stars.
Okay,
one is a joke. One is not a joke, but one is Rip, the Canucks team dog, who is doing an excellent job of distracting me from the fact that our defense sucks by being so fucking cute and also looking so sad. It has like the saddest puppy dog face, which is so perfect for a Canucks dog because of the torment that happens to us. They're doing a really good job. My other one is Emily Castingay because the Canucks managed to wield some cap magic. And what did they do? They get like the exact dollar amount. Incredible. Incredible.
I think Wikipedia said it was first time in NHL history that someone has had perfect cap.
Yeah. Incredible. And she's, she does the cap for the Canucks. So, or she's part of it. So yeah. Congrats for being good at math.
My star of the week is labor legend Albiexa, currently president of the union of, I think it's the Steelworkers Union. Pretty sure. Anyway, it was apparently Albiexa's idea for Kevin Bieksa to sign a one-day contract so he could retire as a Canuck. And I saw the tweet go out. It's great that the Canucks did it. But I saw a whole bunch of people being like, yeah, great idea, Canucks. And I think everyone needs to recognize that it was Albiexa's idea.
Albiexa, he's incredible. He's an icon.
He is.
Come on the pod. Tell us about your union.
Yeah.
Tell us about labor.
He describes himself as a labor activist on his website.
We should get him on. We'll email him.
Next time.
I will be too scared. I cannot email him.
Next time we have.
We should email Kevin Bieksa at his, like, you can contact him through, like, whatever the sports agency he works with is, but we should just contact him to be like, we don't want to talk to you.
Please we want to talk to your dad
on here. Please.
That would be very funny.
Fias would throw a fit if we got him on and he was not just allowed to sit in the corner.
We'd have to let him.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for joining us this week. If you want to tell us your Albiexa stories, get us in contact with him in any way, just anything about that or any of your other comments, we'll also I guess take those. We're at broadcastpod@gmail.com and also other places on the internet.
Georgia
claims that we're gonna launch TikTok. I did check the email recently. Okay, there was nothing in it.
Thank you. No, I thought about doing TikTok because they do free captions. It's very expensive to caption videos if you don't want to hand do it and you don't want a watermark. And if you use TikTok, they just do it for you. But I just posted and deleted on my own TikTok. So
that's hilarious.
You could just make it private.
I don't know how to use TikTok, Mallory.
Okay.
I feel like that's a normal, like, just knowing how to use your phone situation.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not
great. So literally stuff. All, yeah, I just checked it. The only email we currently have was a new sign-in alert. New sign-in from Kansas City. We noticed this new sign-in. Great. It was me. So, funny. No. Wow. Mac, Missouri, USA. Great news. It was me. Okay. Anyway. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon. We'll see you on Saturday for the post game with whatever it's called. I can't give you any more information. It game is over. A post game.
It's called Game Over.
Game Over.
We'll tweet it.
Yeah. And then we'll see you next week.
Can we just spend the whole time being like, subscribe to the broadcast?
Yeah. The whole time. Absolutely.
I told them today, I was like, oh, Georgia and Mallory are guesting with me. And the first response was broadcast supremacy. I was like, that's correct.
That is correct.
That's the appropriate response.
Okay, bye.
Bye.